Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I want to fall from the stars straight into your arms, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Erling Haaland scored yet another hat-trick and Bruno Lage is no longer in charge. It's Monday, 3rd of October. I'm Marcus Spell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Dinesh Antaraja.
Oi, oi, everybody! It's Montag, as the Germans would say. Good to have you with us. It's a time to be happy, because we're going to talk about football.
Yeah.
Even if you're a Manchester United fan.
I don't think it's a time for that Man United fan there to be happy.
Yeah. I feel your pain, brother.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Fulham got beat by a 3-goal margin. I was a bit disappointed when Martial scored that lovely penalty. I thought, I thought that was going to be the biggest doing of the weekend.
Also, Portsmouth lost their unbeaten record in the league as well. So we're all in the same boat.
Bloody
sitting
hell.
Over there.
Yeah, you thinking you're special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Generally, people go to these meetings where they meet other people who've gone through hardships. Yeah. They don't take the piss out of each other, do they?
Oh, gone through hardship. The main life, bloody hell.
You're lucky you've still got a club. Yeah,
it's true. Actually, yeah.
You little mug.
Yeah.
Just be grateful.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky to have one. He chose his later.
Don't be sad. Have you ever seen your team play in a major European final?
How can I be sad when I'm sat next to you?
Exactly, yeah.
As he always says, it's a lovely walk to the ground, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. I was just supposed to watch football.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful world when you know who you are. Right, everybody. Let's have some highlights of the weekend. Vitushin, why don't you go first?
I didn't choose from one game specifically, so I was kind of at a disadvantage there. But my highlight was Tom Cairney having a shot from range and lamenting a shot from range by pulling down his shorts.
Yes. Yeah, that was very good.
Because it was like a toddler having a tantrum in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. Respect it.
Yeah.
You know, kids at that age, where they just pull at it when they're annoyed. It looked like he was doing that.
Yeah, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. But there was, you know, a football Twitter obsessed with screenshots. And there were many screenshots trying to work out if he was wearing underpants.
Yeah.
And someone came in and said, no, there's a different angle for it. Mm. And he is wearing underpants.
Oh, he very much was.
He was, yeah.
I like the idea of Marco Silva.
Presumably he wouldn't have pulled it down if he wasn't.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Marco Silva in the final meeting before the team's been announced, saying, look, Tom, I'm not going to pick you, but I will bring you on if you promise not to pull your shorts down.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe that's why he's not being picked.
Well,
because he keeps trying to take his shorts off.
Indeed. Now, he is a Scotland international.
Yeah.
But of course, he was born in England.
Oh, so he's not a proper Scotsman because
exactly.
He was wearing underpants.
Exactly.
There we go. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Luke Moore, your highlight of the weekend.
Are we honestly saying that part of the reason Tom Cairney isn't being picked regularly for Fulham anymore is because he wants to wear a kilt and isn't allowed to?
Well, there's got to be some reason why they don't want him and his magic wand in there.
That seems like the
don't say magic wand.
It's his face when he says it. The listeners can't hear it. You know it's coming. The little eyebrow goes, doesn't it? He's
somehow,
himself.
Somehow he managed to emphasise the W in wands.
Marcus's face when he knows he's going to say something like that. It's like a little posh kid in an Enid Blyton novel.
Oh, come on.
Get an extra scone from the larder.
Unbelievable. That's a great analogy, to be fair.
Keep your scones in the larder. Yeah.
If only this wasn't just me stalling because I haven't got a highlight of the weekend. I would go with, Marcus, you're going to get annoyed about this because I think you probably want to say this one.
Yeah, go on.
Liam Gallagher rubbing salt in the wound with Gary Neville on Twitter.
Come on.
Sticking the boot in.
It's the finest. He is so good on Twitter, especially after a Derby day
win. Can I just say what he said?
Please.
Just straight away, as soon as the final whistle happened, a little tweet direct to Gary Neville. What you're saying, you're square.
He absolutely loves it. One of my favourite ever tweets was when it was the protesters got onto the pitch at Old Trafford. Remember they were protesting, and he was like a scattergun. He was just pumping out the tweets. And one of them, he's got an absolute joke of a football club. Blah, 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 blah. And in among all this, one just said Jeremy Kyle FC.
Classic.
Oh dear.
My favourite.
People think he's thick.
One of my favourite tweets of recent years is the height of the COVID pandemic when no one can leave their house. Everyone's fuming, obviously, right?
What are you going to say?
And Big Pav, the legend, just saw a tweet of him pop up on my timeline and it just got me. It just said, anyone want three kids? Oh, anyway.
Love that. Anyway. Love that. Okay.
It's just the age difference. So there's only 3 years between Liam Gallagher and Gary Neville, and that's the perfect kind of older kid at school looking at a little kid, you're square.
And if they're in the same class, Gallagher would be at the back and Neville would be at the front row, wouldn't he?
Constantly getting things pinged off his head.
You don't condone it, but it is funny.
I know. This rock and roll stuff better work out for you, pal, otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness. My highlight of the week. Well, look, we've recently had VAR has been in the spotlight in the refereeing and so on. And so my highlight of the week is the referee getting it spot on by not sending off Thiago Silva.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I love that for Silva. Absolutely brilliant all game, like proper experienced defender. If you look at the stats, first for everything on those graphics.
And what is he, 38 now? Still going strong.
Sky Sports.
Still going forward and getting assists for the equaliser as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Sky Sports put these things up saying Thiago Silva, interceptions first in the game, pass completion first, all this stuff. The one time he does get caught out of position, he just goes straight down to the trenches gets away with it.
It's
great.
That is how you become a top-class defender.
Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. He should have been sent off, by the way. We're not going mad. All right, then. Without further ado, the Manchester Derby. Manchester City 6, Manchester United 3. Despite scoring those three goals at the Etihad, Vish, you would have to say that Man City were the better side and deserved the win.
If sometimes games end at a certain point where like a half maybe ends and you're like, God, if that had gone on a bit longer, and generally I reckon if that had gone on for another half, they would have scored another six.
You know that show on Friday, I wasn't on it, but where you embarrass yourself about the Man United players and the Champions League squad and all that kind of stuff. On Friday you said Henning Berg.
Oh, God, yeah.
If I was on that show and I asked you at that point, Man United are going to score three goals at the Etihad tomorrow.
Right, you'd have bitten his hand.
I would have taken that.
Yeah, you would have taken it. They won the second half.
This was a proper like monkey pool wish of three goals, wasn't it? Martial back scoring a couple, Anthony, 2-2, first Man United player to do that since Lukaku.
But you thought if you score three goals, at least that'll cancel out Haaland.
Yeah, so we didn't think of Foden, did we?
You'd all forgotten about little Phil.
You know what? I was... The first half, United were terrible. Couldn't string a pass together. Mm. They there were a couple of points where, there was a Jadon Sancho interception where he botched it on about the halfway line. A couple of little moments where a couple of better decisions and suddenly United are in better territory, certainly getting City away from their goal. Mm. But the calibre of some of those goals...
My goodness.
So the De Bruyne assist for the Haaland goal where he crosses from the narrowest position of all. It's basically a through ball and a cross.
He's about 20 yards out as well.
Yeah.
A through ball and a cross is a great way of describing.
And Haaland gets on the end of it. I laughed when I saw that because I thought, you know what, even as bad as United have been, how do you stop that?
No.
City were so good in that first half that it did take the sting out of it. I thought I was more annoyed, much more annoyed after the Brentford game than I was against that. Even losing, I'm going to say rivals, local rivals or whatever. They're not really rivals in the truest meaning of the word.
What,
in terms of
City?
Professionally, yeah. You know, in terms of like the league, United aren't rivaling City for anything, are they?
I thought you meant like the other way around.
No.
Okay, fine.
But it was, yeah, it was remarkable. United were pretty pathetic in that first half, but at the same time,
City was so just, good.
Yeah, unbelievably good.
It's interesting what you say about Jadon Sancho, because you do wonder when he was at Dortmund, you know, the world at his feet, you know, one of the most exciting players in Europe, you would go as far to say, whereas now, I know he's had a few little flickers, you know, but compare him to, say, like Phil Foden or something, he would be expecting to be operating on that level and for a club going places like that.
He looks very isolated. He was certainly very isolated on the weekend. You know, Rashford, all this talk about him, you know, turning the corner a bit. He was basically nowhere to be seen.
It's very difficult for him, though.
Yeah, it is. United were very disjointed. I think the strangest thing was, so for Foden's goal at the end of the fourth goal, was the vast expanses of free space and, you know, Eriksen fouling De Bruyne after De Bruyne had got rid of the ball and the referee playing advantage despite the fact there was only two City players and seven United players back there. Kind of spoke volumes about how United were against them.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. 1970 was the last time a Man City player, Francis Lickle, scored a hat-trick in the Manchester derby. And then we had two. It was all talk about, Haaland the first one, and then of course Phil Foden so soon after that one.
They just absolutely pulled them to pieces. Yeah. It was very, very, I was saying to you guys, wasn't I, that I felt a bit like, you know, maybe you want to have a look at whether United started off aggressively enough, whether they put pressure on the ball, whether they really came into the game and thought, right, this is a derby, we need to be super aggressive, we need to get right amongst it and keep it really tight as early as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things, it just feels mental to say that. It's like, it's easy to say, but actually the combination of De Bruyne and Haaland with Foden doing what he does, and I actually thought Grealish played really well as well. Those four, I'm not picking them out for any particular reason, because I know that Bernardo Silva got an assist and Gundogan was unlucky not to score the free kick as well. But it's a completely different level. It's a completely different level of football, I thought. I think the way Haaland plays, and you know, the caveat being that if he can keep it up for the whole season, which I think indicators will suggest that he probably will. He's not going to the World Cup, so he's going to be fresh for the second half, which is a frightening prospect. He's probably the best all-round striker I've seen since the original Ronaldo. Mm. Everything he does, it almost feels like impossible to defend against. His strength, his movement, his pace. Like, when he gets up to full speed, it is frightening.
But that goal,
and there's nothing you can do. I can't. The problem is, let me just finish the point by saying, you can criticise Martinez for all the reasons that he gets criticised, including by me. You can criticise Varane, who looked like he was struggling to shake off a bit of a knock at that key point in the game.
Yeah.
All this. I can't tell you a centre-back pairing or a three at the back, whatever, any individual centre-back even, that could have dealt with that. Mm. Chiefly because the runs are so good and the vision and the passing is so good from De Bruyne. Those two players, they're it's impossible to defend against them.
Someone made a really interesting point yesterday talking about exactly that, about if you had a defender with those kind of attributes that could match Haaland, he wouldn't be a defender.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely, he wouldn't. No way.
But some of the stuff, I mean, Ibrahimovic would be the striker that I can... maybe would be the other one I could think of, but like on the stretch, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
The way, like, you don't, the pass...
You knew he was going to get to that,
yeah,
didn't you?
But the pass is, it's obviously accurate, but of course, it does require a lot from the striker. He needs to make that run, but not only does he make that run, he needs to get there, and he needs to be able to, with an outstretched boot, have the control to stick it in the net. But there's so much to do, but of course they're both so good that it looks easy.
And the understanding is that there is basically an agreement on both sides there.
Yes.
Like, you know, this is the only place I can get that ball.
Absolutely right.
And conversely, like, I know you're going to get this ball.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the pass makes the movement look really good.
Yeah.
And the movement provides the opportunity for the pass.
De Bruyne cannot believe his luck.
Thing, yeah.
He can't believe his luck that he's playing balls into Haaland. Yeah. You know, and you think about how good De Bruyne has been for Manchester City. One of, if you could make an argument, he's the best midfielder in the world and one of the best of his generation. And now he's thinking, my goodness, as if I don't get enough assists already, he's going to rack them up. Because
no one has done so far, I believe, and people can come back at me with all the different stats and stuff, but I don't think they will be able to. No one has done to the Premier League what Haaland is currently doing to it. It's never been done. There's no way anyone has been able to reach the level, not just talking about the stats and the goals he scored and the assists, but the eye test as well. He looks like he's playing on a completely different plane.
What about when Salez joined Newcastle?
That was great. We all enjoyed that.
Eight goals in his first eight games or something. And I think
John Stead at Blackburn.
There you go.
I feel like Kevin Phillips might have set the world on fire when he won the Golden Boot that year as well.
Marcus Stewart for Ipswich.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you're getting a bit silly. Yeah. It was a very good season though, lest we forget.
Yeah, I think you're kind of reinforcing my point with some of these names. I think it's absolutely, it's terrible news for the rest of the league.
It is.
It's not our fault and it's not Erling Haaland's fault. The situation.
Roy Keane chopped his father down.
Correct, a supervillain.
Did you see that screen grab? I think someone posted it in the group of Gary Neville remonstrating, like still a screenshot of Gary Neville remonstrating with Roy Keane. It's like, if he just left his dad alive.
Yeah. but there were resorts to that in the Sky Sports studio afterwards. In the Sky Sports studio afterwards, you had Roy Keane, Michael Richards, and Kelly Cates. And the conversation they had was essentially all about Ronaldo. And the reason they were having that conversation is because they run out of superlatives around Haaland. There was nothing really else to say. And Keane was arguing. I like Roy Keane. I think he's brilliant on TV. I disagreed with what he was saying yesterday, where he was saying that, you know, Ronaldo's got to play and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But that was what they were reduced to talking about because there was nothing else to say.
And it is tempting to just, Haaland's brilliant. You shouldn't stop saying that. I understand that some people, I know a mutual friend of ours who's been in this very studio, you know, talks about the money from where it comes from, Man City, and his fellow countrymen going there. He just can't really get behind it, blah, 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 blah. I understand, but in pure footballing terms, you shouldn't stop saying this. It was like with Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo when he was at Real Madrid and at Manchester United before that. Like, don't stop pointing out how brilliant this is, because actually this is just different gravy. This is absolutely brilliant. I mean, the first player to score a hat-trick in three successive home games. He's now the same amount of Premier League hat-tricks as Ronaldo, Lampard, Lukaku, Robbie Keane and Jamie Vardy. 14 goals in eight Premier League games.
And he scored that same amount of hat-tricks of all those players in eight Premier League games.
Do
you remember when he started playing Champions League football and those stats were coming out about the number of goals that he was scoring and how consistent he was scoring them?
Yeah.
I remember someone, someone at the who covers German football regularly and specifically covers Dortmund, was saying that he was speaking to some of their coaches about him, and they were like, "It's interesting that he's doing that and the way that he's pulling up trees, because when you talk to him in person, he has a real appreciation of the game, but none of the numbers."
Yeah.
So like he respects history. But at the same time, he doesn't see it as something that, you know, the players who are up here, they're up there, and that's basically where the ceiling is. His thought is, well, you know, I'm pretty good, and I can bomb past him, and I can score from there, and I can score with my head, I can score left and right foot. If I just keep doing that, I will score. And he looks at it every game. So he was like, I scored a hat-trick. I can score a hat-trick today. I can score a hat-trick tomorrow. Yeah. Not thinking, I'm going to slow down because I've already scored 15 goals this season.
That's right.
No.
It's fascinating.
Well, he's basically play the ball where it lies. You know, every game is a complete clean sheet, a clean slate rather.
Yeah.
Which is,
there
as
are
you
no
say,
clean sheets.
Yeah, definitely not. But that is fascinating to get into the mindset of him, how he does that. Apparently, you mentioned him scoring a header. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer apparently taught him how to head the ball when they worked together at Mulder.
So you can blame
So you can blame him.
His shadow looms large.
You think I don't for this situation?
But despite that victory and very impressive performance, Pep Guardiola said after the match, "We can win or lose, but there are many things we can do better. Some players were not good today, so they have to improve."
The thing I did, you know, we talk about it about
Ferguson-esque.
But you know, we talked about it before about the kind of the professional bond between footballers and about how when a team are getting pasted, there is almost that understanding of stepping off. And I didn't think it would apply necessarily to this game in particular, but it really did feel like Man City went properly off it until Anthony scored. And then they were like, well, hold on. United were never in. You were never really.
That Anthony goal came from nowhere, by the way.
Well, exactly.
That'd be one of the great forgotten goals. It was a fucking beauty.
It was a beauty. Yeah.
But it really felt like they stepped off, and it wasn't. I didn't look at it as a very City thing to do.
Well, that's probably what he's saying there, and you know, Pep loves to batter teams, and he loves for his teams to play well for the whole 90 and not do all that kind of stuff, as you say. Some Manchester United fans, obviously. They were spotted leaving before half time, which shows you the absolute shellacking they got.
About four of them called into the 606. So they can't even deny it.
But then they actually won the second half 3-2, so exactly. I bet they felt a bit stupid.
Last laugh.
Do you know what? I love inconsequential goals when they go in. I can't get enough of it.
Really?
I like when
it
Martial
takes a shine off for me.
No, it doesn't. For me, I love it. Martial's penalty, superb.
You know, when
right in top,
it's a great penalty.
It was
Edison's reaction to immediately get the ball and thought, oh, I'll have it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Is it even if you get another one?
Yeah,
but I can understand Guardiola's frustration because of the type of character he is and because of the way they ended the game.
Hmm.
I think there's a Manchester City, even if they were to do what you were alluding to, Vish, they're still good enough to just torment United.
Yeah, yeah.
And say that, you know, we're going to keep the ball. They didn't actually keep the ball a huge amount by their own standards. Mm. I mean, the possession stats aren't that incredible, really. And I think I can understand why he would have come away from that game, Guardiola, like I say, knowing the character that he is, mm-hmm. with a little bit of a sour taste, going, how have we conceded three there? Because it doesn't look great to concede three at home in that kind of, particularly in the manner of that. They were quite off it. They were off it because they had won the game. At the same time, close it out. 6-1 is miles different to 6-3.
True enough, but they were on it so much that Eric Ten Hag said he didn't bring on Cristiano Ronaldo out of respect for his career.
I mean, that's a remarkable thing to say, by the way.
It's an absurd thing to say, given his stance on Ronaldo at the very start, which was very good. He was very strong, very firm, and talked about not treating him any differently. And then he comes out and says that, which is a bit confusing. I thought he had a bit of a bad day all round. I didn't necessarily have a problem with the team he put out there, but when City were all over United about, you know, for 10 minutes in, you've got to change it. I don't necessarily mean subs, but there was an opportunity there to drop Fernandes a bit further back, get Rashford in that pocket, because there was no point having a striker
the issue isn't that though, is it, Vish? I don't think it is anyway. The issue is, and sorry to bring to the table the unfashionable Graham Souness, but one of the things that Souness says, which I think is spot on, is that, and actually, Guardiola actually said this before the game. Mm. Guardiola said before the game, and I'm sure he was just being humble and obviously a bit odd, he said, I don't ever feel like I've ever won any game. The players win the game. Mm-hmm. We create the conditions to win. And Souness says, look, forget, I know he's an old kind of, bit of an old dinosaur, but he says something which I think is absolutely true about
football. I think Souness is that bad. I think he's got something to say.
And he chucks it out there and he says, forget about the formations. Forget about the individual roles that people are being asked to play. Forget about this and, you know, and all the rest of it and all the tape you watch. If you're not going to snap into tackles in the Premier League and be first to the ball and be super aggressive, you're never going to get anywhere near it. And I don't think any change could have flicked a switch in the Man United players' minds to say, right, now we're going to be off on it. No,
I agree with that. I just thought that, you know, if you watch that in front of you and you're the only one with the power to change the structure, I thought maybe you should have done it. I'm not saying it would have changed the result, but it felt a bit like United were,
sure.
United, everyone involved in United were just watching things happen to them.
Yeah,
and it was
enough.
Pretty remarkable things.
But by the way, when Souness says that and people criticise him, that will always be relevant.
Of course it will. How hard you got to fight to get to that level of football? It's
indeed,
incredible.
Yeah. Gentlemen, let's talk about the North London derby. Arsenal 3, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Mikel Arteta said it was probably the best atmosphere he'd ever seen at the Emirates. And that's something you said on Friday, Vish, didn't you? You were talking about the atmosphere and Jim was agreeing with you because he goes regularly. You were talking about the what they've created, and it's the kind of thing that they can ride and help them in a game like this.
Yeah, well, so I mentioned it on Friday in terms of if Spurs had decided, or, you know, if the route they were going to take was to make it into a scrappy game and make it a bit tense, that the Arsenal home fan base, you know, the Emirates fan base, have a bit more about them to ride that and actually get into it rather than, you know, take it out on their own team. But they were, I'm gonna say that, it'd be interesting to see what you two think about this. I thought Spurs were actually pretty good, but they messed up with a few of their passes in the final third. They had Arsenal in positions that they probably trained to get them in. They had, you know, overloads in transition, but every now and again they just played a couple of really stupid passes.
Well, that's what Conte said. His post-match comments were like that. It was that final third.
Yeah.
And that often doesn't get picked up when the highlights packages, chances created and so on. Because yes, that did seem to be the case.
And if you think about it, like, so Hugo Lloris drops his regular big game clanger to put Arsenal back in front.
Yeah.
And moments before that, Romero and Son are on a break where if you replace that with one other player, suddenly someone's squaring it to the other and they're scoring. But at the same time, Arsenal, you know, on balance, I definitely think they deserve to win it. Deserve to win it by, you know, by that scoreline as well. And I know, like, we'll talk about some of the more forward-thinking players, but Saliba, there was a moment when Arsenal looked quite chaotic when Spurs came back into the game, and he was basically on a different plane. Yeah. He was the only person who was calm.
Yeah.
And it was remarkable.
Just danced around the ball on the edge of his own box. Yeah. And play it simple. Wait, what were you worried about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that specifically as well.
I mean, he looks decent, doesn't he? But it was a great win for Arsenal. And Gabriel Jesus got another goal. Luke Moore, you said he was going to score tons of goals this season. And he seems to be. Well, I mean, obviously.
I mean, he'll probably be. I mean, obviously, he won't be pleased at the end of the season when he doesn't win the Golden Boot because Haaland will, but I imagine he'd be fairly content that Haaland's getting all the plaudits and getting all the attention because he's just quietly going about his business. He'll rack up goals this season for sure.
He'll probably get a number that would have won him last year's Golden Boot.
Maybe he will.
Yeah. Well, Man City will have the league wrapped up in probably April, I reckon. Unless Arsenal can keep the pace.
April
is generous, maybe. And Haaland will have the Golden Boot wrapped up in February.
Great. Well, listen, enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Look forward to it.
Look forward to the World Cup is what I'm saying. That's where we get a bit of peace.
I kind of agree with what Vish said about the game. Spurs obviously tried to soak and strike, you know, play deep and in an almost ostensibly defensive way, but at the same time picking quite a lot of attacking players to do it because they wanted to execute this plan of catching teams on the break and all the rest of it. And obviously, a lot's been made of the same scoreline last season, but then obviously they were a completely different team then, and Nuno was a busted flush. I feel like Vish is right, and the way I would phrase it is that I feel like it could have worked, but it didn't. And the reason it didn't is partly because Arsenal, I think, are a really good team, and that's probably fair to say, but also because not only basically you can sum up the Spurs' performance by mistakes, and whether that's a mistake of a overhit through ball by Son or a poor decision in the final third, or a Hugo Lloris error, or a Christian Romero error, or an Emerson Royale ridiculous decision when there's no need to do it, those mistakes, as we often say on this show, Marcus, and sometimes I feel like other coverage of football doesn't say this enough. Those mistakes are part of the performance. You can't write them off and go, oh, yeah, it would have been brilliant if the mistakes didn't happen. You created the environment for the mistakes to happen.
Well, it's a bit like...
So they're part of it.
Yeah, it's a bit like when people say, well, if it wasn't for the goalkeeper, well, he's in the 11.
Exactly. That's why he's there.
And that's why they've signed him.
So I feel like what I would add to what Vish said and what you guys are saying is just this. I also think that when you play in the way that Conte wants Spurs to play, particularly away from home, and this game on Saturday is no exception, you are essentially trusting your team to play the majority of the game, not only in your own half, but a lot more than would be preferable in your own third. And what that does is invites pressure on you. And you have to be totally comfortable being that close to your own goal at all times. And I would never, don't overestimate how panicky players get. The best team I've seen ever doing that was Mourinho's Inter in 2010. It felt like they would play like 10 yards out their own goal the whole game and they'd be fine with it. It's hard for players to maintain that because the pressure builds and builds and builds, particularly against tricky, talented players like Arsenal have got.
I thought you were going to say Mourinho Spurs. I was going to go, but you went Inter and you were absolutely right to say that. But you're true. It's right.
That was very much the no waces of that.
But you're right. And I think, you know, obviously he does that to give... I mean, Conte likes to play like that and it gives the forward players much more space because you're going to invite them on and it's going to create space, but they didn't use it well, as you've said. The
Arsenal deserved their win, by the way.
Well, yeah, indeed, and that echoes what Vish said. The Emerson Royal sending off. Conte wasn't happy with the decision and suggested there's inconsistency in the Premier League over what meets the threshold for a red card. I mean, there's definitely inconsistency. I mean, he's not wrong there. But did you think it was a red card?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously I did as well.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page.
I just think it's a red card for stupidity. Like, you're gonna rake your studs down the back of someone's calf in their own left back position when there's no threat.
And running the other way.
It's totally pointless.
It was so stupid that I went on the internet afterwards to find out if they had beef.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the only thing I could think of. Did something happen, Brazil squad once in a while? And... But absurd. Borderline. Well, I mean, not borderline. It was fucking imbecilic. Is what it was.
Big fight should be a big fine.
Word for Granit Xhaka.
Played well.
Man of the match. Got his
great
goal
again. He seems to. Arteta seems to have tapped into something in him. What I mean by that is not just that Arteta's getting great performances out of him, but the narrative against Xhaka has been completely inverted. Not only has he managed to get performances out of him, he's somehow managed to say to Xhaka, the whole. Story here of Arsenal's turnaround, whether it be the stadium, the atmosphere, the performances, the standards, we can channel this all through you, which I think is a remarkable thing.
I think given the
position he was in before,
the turnaround has been incredible, and it's a very rare thing considering what happened. Obviously, this was mentioned in the post-match. But you can't emphasise enough just how amazing that was. He was given man of the match. Although when presenting Xhaka with the award, Gabriel Jesus said, with regards to awarding him man of the match, I don't know how, but congratulations.
A ringing endorsement.
How about that?
But I said in August that Arsenal might well be top at Christmas, and I was derided for that.
Derided.
We're in October.
Yeah.
And they're still top.
They're going to approach quite an
Christmas still in November? Or?
famously, yeah.
Yeah, it's been moved forward because of the World Cup.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great.
Oh, dear. But you mentioned Jose Mourinho earlier. Well, did you see that he was in the news again this week? He missed his Roma team's 2-1 win over Inter, his former club, of course, which happened on the weekend because he was serving a touchline ban for being sent off in their game against Atlanta last week. At Atlanta, I should say. As he couldn't watch the match from the dugout, he insisted to choose to watch the game from the Roma team bus, which was parked in the San Siro car.
Yeah, I like that.
Glorious.
You can suspend me all you like from the game, but you can't stop me celebrating with the bus driver.
Yeah. I'm not banned from the Milan area.
I've got more people on my social media than I have in the stadium anyway.
You've done me a favour.
Yeah.
He shared his situation, as you say, on social media with the caption, "I'm going to die here," before sharing a video.
Okay, that is mad. What does he mean?
Well, I think probably, it's the warrior spirit of the man. Was he nervous or something?
Some of his Instagram stories, which I was able to watch in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just remember, just him mugging to the camera.
Yeah,
like he knows exactly what he's doing.
He can't. As you say,
someone knocking on the window. No, it's not that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm watching the game.
Somehow he's got more enjoyment out of it and more attention.
It always comes up, Jose.
Yeah. Well, and then you saw them celebrating the win, of course, outside with the bus driver. Mm. I tell you what. Come on, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Were there fans like next to the coach? Because if he's doing it live on Instagram, surely some of the people. Well, fuck, he's just in the car park over there.
No, because they're all in the game. Not that I saw from the.
No, but if you're from outside, if you're like, if I said to you, Jose Mourinho is in a car park, in the car park.
I don't believe it's like in a public car park. Hmm. I believe it should.
Must be where the bus goes.
Of course. Yeah,
it
has
to be.
You've been to a game before.
Yeah. He's not driven to one, though.
Yeah. Actually, I have during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You're not doing cricket now, mate.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
You know, you can only stop here for 2 hours, so you can't do the loop again and come back in. Yeah.
All right. It's time for a break, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I see it a different the way I see it, and I stand by that, and I'm very comfortable and confident in saying what I have to say.
Who would you bring in?
I don't know.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. That was Rio Ferdinand on what he would do as sporting director at Manchester United.
It's great because it's a clip. An embarrassing clip involving Jake Humphrey, where Jake Humphrey's not the butt of it.
It's like that
he
scene.
He must be delighted.
It's like that scene in The Office when Keith comes in to have his review with David Brent. Yeah. It's the only scene where Brent.
We're
going to
leave that there.
Yeah, under sporting directors, you said don't know. Bruno Lage has
under
been sacked.
You put murky. That's what you do.
Bruno Lage has been sacked.
Have a bit of respect,
yeah, sorry.
I know. Hey, sacked
sake.
Him after their 2-0.
You said
loss.
He was no longer in charge. You rhymed off his misery.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we made him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He played it straight in the intro and the
very
script,
straight.
But we changed it.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to.
He can't go home to his family anymore. That's what you said.
Uh-huh. You said the Wolves are not at his door anymore.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
That was quite good, yeah. Lost 2-0 to West Ham on Saturday. He'd won just one of his last 15 league games, of course. They'd spent $100 million in the summer and they sit in the relegation zone after 8 games. Do you think also the style of football? I mean, the fans were not that happy. They've not scored that many goals. They don't concede that many. But it's not been a lot to shout about for a while. And the fans were getting a bit restless up at Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, this is really basic, but it's coming from me, so what do you expect? But I think we were talking about them last week.
A man's lost his job.
I was saying last week that I couldn't work out if they were a good or a bad side, or rather, you couldn't say unequivocally like, "Oh, you know, Wolves are a good side," or they're, you know, or they, you know, they deserve to be where they are, because they have good players. Every now and again, they pull out a performance where, you know, if you really strip it away, it does rely on the quality of the individuals, and they have some, you know, very talented individuals in that regard.
They were hard to beat.
Yes, yeah. Certainly under Nuno, yeah. And then under
Lage as well.
Yeah, I suppose. But it was still, because it wasn't really his team. They were just an extension from what he took over from Nuno. So you weren't really sure of the imprint he was putting on it. But then, for example, when he watched Palace at the start of last season, when they struggled to string together some wins, you could say that they were a good team there. You could say that at least you could recognise what they were doing and what they were trying to do anyway. Mm-hmm. If you look at like how Lage was starting to talk as well, I think someone made a point. I think that, you know, there's a piece in The Athletic about it, how suddenly strikers became his big thing about how like he'd always used to say that, you know, he even said it on the weekend, which I don't know if it was accurate at all, but he said, whenever we played a striker, we've never lost.
Mm.
And I was a bit like, yeah. And he was like, you know, talking about all their, you know, all this, that and the other. But there also seems to be a bit of a disconnect from upstairs as well, because, you know, Sasa Kalajic, when he came in, obviously, unfortunately, he got injured. But if you give the manager that much money to spend on a new striker and then, what, you know, a month later, sack him, it seems a bit odd, especially at the time when people were questioning his, you know, his long-term future anyway.
I find it interesting that they, you mentioned about how it's been covered in The Athletic, and they do, yeah, traditionally have very good kind of sources in clubs and stuff. And they talk about how his man management wasn't great. He wasn't comfortable with one-on-one conversations. He was a bit of distance. He was very emotionally led, all the rest of it. And then you piece that together with things like, something that I thought was a very, very strange move, like letting Connor Cody go, who's a big personality.
One of the reasons is because he played a back four more than a back three, but Cody has played in a back four.
He wanted to convert them from a 3-4, didn't he? Which is part of his thing. But at the same time, though, I mean, that's still a really kind of drastic move to make. And Connor Cody's probably the beating heart of that Wolves in the Premier League era team. And he's been allowed to go.
He may well have said, I can't guarantee you first-team football. And Connor Cody said, well, I want that. And so,
sure. I'm reading between the lines. I don't know this. But then Vish touches on something which I think is really interesting as well. They bring these players in. Fair enough, they're unlucky with Kalajdzic. But they bring these players in and they back the manager, who wants to play this much more attacking type of football, yet they can't score goals. Mm. And then they just sack him.
But I think you know, a leopard can't change its spots. And Lage, you can give him all the players in the world and you give this, that and the other. They're not going to suddenly become a free-scoring side. You've seen how he sets up, and it is effective to a point. But if you're not conceding, sorry, if you then start to concede a little more and you're not scoring, and then as the results aren't good, it's going one way. The fans have, you know, getting a bit restless and annoyed and so on. And as you say, disconnect with the owners, blah 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 blah. It's not going to suddenly swing all the way back round. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. It's very difficult to arrest that slide. And so I sort of get the decision. I think he's done okay. but I don't think he'll be missed that much. And
but
I say that
scored,
with
they scored a lot, a decent amount of goals when he had that big season at Benfica, which is basically what his reputation.
Yeah, but we're talking about Wolverhampton. What he's done at Wolves, you can only go off what he's done there. I mean, if he's still saying to the hierarchy, yeah, but look what I did at Benfica.
Yeah, but is the point not that? But I'm just kind of responding to your specific point, which is that
look what I did at Inter when we won the treble.
No, but but if he's going to go in and say, look, I came from I did whatever I did at Benfica, whatever, and I want to turn this team into a you know, an attacking team.
Yeah.
And I've been unlucky with the strikers I've signed, and it's taken a while to bed in, and I haven't probably got the physicality of forward that I want, which is why he's got Costa in and why he got Kalajdzic and then got injured. These things take time. Like, but what he inherited was nothing like what he's trying to get. Now, I'm not saying he deserves time, because ultimately they can do what they want.
Well, the club are reportedly talking to Pedro Martins, who recently managed Olympiacos, led them to 3 straight league title wins in Greece. Julian Lopetegui was also, his name's been mentioned as well. So at the time of recording, Wolves are managerless. But
well, I think caretaker Steve Davis, isn't it?
Well,
a bit of respect for Steve.
Absolutely.
Not the snooker player.
I was going to say, he's conquered one sporting world, if you call it a sport, and he's trying his hand at
I do
one.
Call it a sport.
I know you
as you
do.
Well know.
You've been up to the crucible.
I love the snooker.
I've played pool against Steve Davis.
How'd you get on?
He was doing.
Which one?
I lost. The snooker player.
Yeah, obviously you lost.
Thought take him out of his waters.
How good was he?
Pool. He was. Yeah,
he's like famously like a multiple pool world champion.
I love it.
As well.
Didn't get on the table.
That's like oh yeah.
I think I broke. No, I broke. Sorry. And then he cleared up.
Take him out of it. It's like saying, well, I lined up for the 800 meters against Usain Bolt. Yeah, he beat me.
Yeah. I thought take him out of salt water. Put him in fresh.
Can he run 8 times as far?
He'll be knackered after at least 100 metres and then like the tall to salt.
Because my advantage there is because I haven't trained 100 metres, have I?
No. Yeah.
So I'm not conditioned
you've
to it.
You've got more in
idiot.
The tank.
Steve Davis apparently created the Moscone Cup, which is the annual 9-ball ball tournament, the equivalent of the Ryder Cup.
He kept that quiet.
I bet he was shitting himself.
It was a cricket do as well.
As you greeted defeat by waving your porker around, going, let's get you on the cricket pitch again. I'll see you in the net.
Oh, dear.
That was you.
Well, he may well be managing when they play Chelsea this weekend or not. One of the Steve Davises, I forget
Steve
which.
Steve Davis apparently he's also served as president of the British Chess Federation.
Love that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he investigating this cheating scandal that's...
No, I think it's been done. I think we've found it.
And there's also appeared at the final table in the 2003 Poker Millions.
Mm.
Which, got it all. If it's an indoor sport, Steve's got it covered.
I don't know which Steve Davis we're talking about, but enjoy it. Just enjoy the Steve Davis chat, everybody.
Yeah.
Can Diego Costa score the goals to get them out of the relegation zone? Because he's banging on about, we don't have a striker, but you've got Diego. He should have scored against West Ham.
He looked pretty tidy, didn't he?
He looked in better physical nick than I thought he would.
Yeah, but our game's generally half an hour long. He got like half an hour, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's all he's going to get.
Maybe it's all he's going to get.
Maybe he can get them on the Griezmann deal.
Well, if he isn't going to score the goals, then maybe they should sign Real Santa Cruz striker Kevin Mina. Yes, we go to Bolivia very briefly. They're currently second bottom of the Bolivian top tier. And after their 1-1 draw on the weekend, Mina vowed to cut off his penis if they get relegated.
You know what? I wonder what
they were his literal words.
I wonder what
I
listeners
just want Marcus to read it.
I wonder what listeners think whenever there's a segue. Like, speaking of which, and we go to Bolivia, always penis related.
Yeah.
Depending on Bolivia.
No, but any country. Whenever we jump from the UK to any other country, it's
usually
almost always penis related.
Genitalia. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
what's your point?
I'm just saying. It's, as soon as I heard Bolivia, I was like penis.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I don't know why.
Why is he throwing his knob in the ring?
It's only going to compound. Well, that's what he will be doing after he's cut it off, presumably. What? That's only going to compound the problems, isn't it?
What do you think he'll keep it?
Going home to your
partner. Do you think he'll keep
it? In his pocket.
Going home to your partner. You look a bit glum. Yeah. Was it because you got relegated? That's part of it. What's the rest? I'm scared to tell you.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Maybe he just like nick it as if he was shaving it.
Depends on the size.
Rather than cut it off.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's time we move on to Liverpool. Brighton.
Also, how will that motivate people around
you? Fish. Yeah. I think it's time we move on to Liverpool versus Brighton.
Yeah.
I brought it up.
You're trying to get us back from Bolivia now. We're already
what,
there.
That's what
Vish did
when he lost to Steve Davis at Paul.
Oh, dear. Put your cue away.
Stuffed it in one of the pockets. Not that pocket.
Ah. Perhaps I ought to chalk it. Liverpool 3, Brighton 3. Lovely game. at Anfield. Lovely game at Anfield. Enough, we've moved on from the knob
chat. It was a great game, wasn't it?
It was a great game. The new Brighton manager, Roberto De Zerbi, seems to have picked up where Graham Potter left off.
Yeah. At what point are we going to talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold, Marcus? Because
well, no, the reason why he's not that good at defending is because he goes really high up the pitch.
That was very much, when it comes to the debate around
it's so good that,
whether Trent
it?
Can defend or not, that was very much what I would describe as the final insult.
I found
it was baffling what he was doing.
The conversation had finally turned in his favour.
Yeah.
And he turned it back.
Look, Trent's a great player. I don't want to hammer Trent.
Of course he is. You'd be an idiot to think otherwise.
Of course. But like when Jurgen Klopp, you know, when he does that thing, he comes out really passionately in defence. I don't know why people say this. And going, so you're saying because he plays really high up the pitch, he's susceptible to balls in behind. Okay. But we're not just talking about that. And quite a lot of people came out in defence. Like Gary Lineker even on Twitter was saying exactly this. People don't know what they're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of like, yeah, I think, lads, that there's a little bit more to this chat than that. And obviously we saw the game against Brighton. He's low on confidence, as the whole team are.
Yeah.
But that performance really will not help his cause.
But let me tell you something about Trent.
Go on.
Because you've got a couple of different ways of looking at the defensive side of his game.
Yeah.
One is a tactical side, which I'm generally sympathetic towards, chiefly because, as Klopp's alluded to there, the type of football they like to play means they're going to be far more susceptible to conceding those types of goals than, say, a Man City are, right? Who's a team that they're always compared with, right? That's one part of it. The drawback of playing football the way Jurgen Klopp wants Liverpool to play football is players out in wide areas are going to be criticised occasionally because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is the direct faults of the player.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately,
there's too many of them.
Alexander-Arnold is victim of both. He doesn't see danger.
Yeah.
He's positionally very, very problematic against good teams who can work him out.
Yeah.
And he was a direct fault for two of those goals against Brighton at home, and further compounded this issue that Liverpool seem to have. They can't get past, which is they cannot start games quickly enough.
No, they can't.
They seem to...
Which used to be a strength of theirs.
Massively. They used to blow you to pieces. Like, used to be thunder and lightning from the very first whistle. And now, I don't know what the stats are, but it is incredible how many times they go behind.
But with Alexander-Arnold, to me, he is, and I know I'm not just saying this because of his crossing ability and so on, but he is, it's almost like an old-fashioned 4-4-2. Would suit him as a right midfielder.
Someone behind him,
you know, as I say, I know I'm going to say David Beckham is at the crosser, but you know, that type of player, of course, people or teams don't really play like that, and Liverpool certainly don't. It was actually, for England, it might actually suit him playing on that right wing back, but of course, for reasons just stated, and Gareth Southgate, you know, Reece James will be ahead of him and Trippier as well. That would be the contentious one. But yeah, but he was at fault for, you know, certainly was, I forget which goal it was, the first or the second Trossard goal. Speaking of hat-tricks, though, well, Trossard, apparently De Zerbi texted Trossard before the game saying he needs to score more goals. So that's a good answer, isn't it? I mean, if you're gonna,
I hope he left him on blue ticks and then scored a hat-trick and then replied, yes, David. Like, what do you reckon of that then?
Yeah. Yeah,
is that enough for you?
The frustrating thing for Liverpool is they got themselves out of the hole. You know, they got themselves 3-2 up. I mean, nice to see Bobby Firmino scoring.
I feel
he's one of the only players who seems to have been
level.
He's had a bit of time off in his recent seasons.
Maybe that is part of it.
I think that's
he's a wonderful player, and I feel a bit bad for him that he's almost internally enjoying his return of form while everything else is falling apart around him.
Well, but that's it though. I think Liverpool's, a lot of people said, you know, last season the toll of going for a quadruple.
Yeah.
And then missing out on the final two and the biggest two trophies as well.
Yeah, it was
an amazing season they had last year. They were two games away from winning a quadruple, like just phenomenal stuff. And it was gutting for them, but they were running out of steam, of course, before the end of the season. And so difficult to pick those players up, because when you have, you know, you're so close to having a hand on all of those trophies and it's taken away, how do you then pick yourself up and go, we've got to go again?
Yeah.
And that was one of the amazing
things. It's your job
things.
Though, isn't it?
No, of course, but people do get tired and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Not on my watch.
On your watch.
They get paid enough. Why do they get tired?
That's true. Why aren't they robots?
Well, you're right about Firmino, though. He's like the last good ride at a crumbling theme park. That's what it looks like. You know, people are still going there to see his big, you know, his bright white teeth.
Yeah.
And there's goals. But around, I mean, Marcus, you must be in dire straits yourself because you've got Henderson. He starts for England for you, doesn't he?
Well, I think Twitter told me.
Is Marcus the only person
move.
Whose FBL team is England?
Yeah, he only picks English players. Yeah, so you're reneging on that. Now. You're doing a quasi Kvaratskhelia on that, are you?
Unbelievable.
You turning on Henderson.
Unbelievable.
Henderson's the 45p tax rate.
Yeah.
And you've stuck with it.
No. I just want to rethink, that's all. One can change one's mind.
The problem is I've just realised that if we do this analogy, it makes me Liz Truss. Because I did one as well, didn't I?
And I'm the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I also say that I wonder if you're a Brighton fan having watched that game and actually quite comforted, given that you've lost the manager like Potter and someone's come in and basically kept that engaging thing going and scoring a couple of goals, scoring three goals
as well. Dzarbi himself said after the game, he suggests that we could see more high scoring games from Brighton this season. I don't know if I'm a good head coach. He didn't say that on the interview. but I'm a very brave one. I am not worried about adding one more striker, even if I respect a team like Liverpool. this is the man for the job.
In the interview, why do you want to work here? Not for me to say. Yeah.
No, but I'm very brave.
I think it's a testament to those players. I know that there's this kind of cliche that says when a new manager comes in, they're all trying to work hard to impress him. But it's the easiest excuse in the world to go to Anfield and go, oh, well, you know, we tried our best, but they're a really good team. Mm. And they've got a first 11 that he picked there full of players who are so game. You
they're
know?
On it. Brighton
Welbeck,
are it.
Welbeck sets the tone. Trossard
should have scored again, Welbeck.
He should have, but he's so busy, isn't he? Mm. Trossard was unplayable. Gross is a really clever player. I don't think he had his best game at Anfield, but he's a really clever player. Mm. McAllister's growing into his role in midfield. Solly March is really game as well. Mm. Works. He's just as honest as the day is long. They've got a lot to credit them, Brighton. And if Deserby can come in and maintain those standards, even if they play slightly differently or whatever, that's a great thing because it'll be a huge, huge loss for Potter to go. I wonder if you could make an argument for teams of that profile, whether there's a more impactful managerial loss than Potter from Brighton.
Quite possibly. And of course, at Liverpool, soon enough, Vish, people are going to say Klopp out.
Yeah.
No Liverpool fans, but I think... No, but the thing
yeah,
is...
Yeah,
like,
that's how the conversation generally goes. And it's not often because they're suddenly in the bottom half of the table. Yeah. It's purely because, as we've seen it with, you know, all over the world, you know, previously in football, sometimes the messages stop getting through. And it's just because people retire.
He has said this morning, Klopp's their ninth at the moment as time recording. He has said this morning, if they drop into the bottom half, he is going to cut his penis off. So, look out for that. Yeah.
Does that mean the guy who looks like Klopp also has to cut his penis off?
He can't believe it. He's human.
Why have you said that?
Vardy's looking like, all I've got to do is drink Red Bull and vodka. It's easy. Just do Jager bombs.
Can I throw something out there
that
might be bollocks? Mm-hmm. No, not about Klopp. It's Brighton related. So, who are England's left wing backs?
Here we go.
Luke Shaw. Yeah.
And Ben Chilwell.
Ben Chilwell.
Yeah.
Go on. Say it.
Trossard. If you want. No. But if you want someone who is tactically astute, who runs all day,
Lamptey.
Technically very good.
Just say Lamptey.
No. Technically very good and also can be given instructions and play many different roles within the same position as it were.
Yeah. Big Dan Burn plays for Newcastle now, I remember.
Yeah.
Solly March?
Famously playing off the right against Liverpool.
Yeah, but is left-footed.
Ashley
plays a lot after on the left.
He's very versatile, yeah. He's very versatile.
I wonder, and it's only something that I thought about when I was watching him the other day.
No friendlies to test him in.
I don't mean for the World Cup.
What are you talking about then?
I just mean in the future for England.
You bring England chat to the table, they go, oh, well, not for the World Cup, though.
Yeah, well, because England are still going to play games after that, mate. They're not
Not if they win it. That's it.
You do realise you can't come into this studio and bring in, like, you know, really, like, frivolous, whimsical England opinions when you've got the end-of-level boss that opposite you. He ain't going to accept that.
Yeah, and I've got my attack dog with me.
He's fuming now. Stick to the stuff about Tom Kearney wearing a kilt.
Oh dear. By the way, we should say Liverpool.
Solly March for England.
They host Rangers in the Champions League tomorrow. Spurs head to Eintracht Frankfurt, the team who beat Rangers in the Europa League final, of course. You can hear our thoughts after those games in another episode of Ramble Reacts dropping this Wednesday.
Oh, that's me, you and Lars, isn't it? Tomorrow night.
Big Lars is on.
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Yeah. How about that?
Fish couldn't be asked, could you?
Oh dear.
No.
Gentlemen.
Oh no, Vish is going out to a cricket writer's drinks, that's why.
Oh, yeah. he loves a drink, does Vish?
He does.
He does love a drink.
Things that Vish likes.
Drink.
Drink.
Food.
Cricket. Drinking at the cricket.
Everyone likes drinking food. some people like quick. Yeah, but everyone, how's liking drink and food weird? Yeah. Oh, he's always going on about drink and food, him.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Honestly, he, about three times a day, he's always eating.
Can't stop it.
Oh, dear. Talking of food, Fulham, 1, Newcastle United, 4.
Oh, we still did another game. I thought we did the Ramble Reacts plug. We were stopping.
No. We've got one more to go. Okay. I just felt to myself that I've got a face up.
Yeah.
Newcastle United, they came to the cottage.
Yeah.
Fortress Cottage.
Bad news for those of us who thought that Mitrovic would bang a couple in against his old club.
Yeah. Fulham, down to 10 men. Do you know what? I said to my mate when we were going, I checked the team sheet and I went, oh, Joao Palhinha's not playing. That's not good news. I'm worried. I didn't realise how bad it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought, well...
Nathaniel Chalab has probably made a little bit of a contribution to that, though, hasn't he?
An enormous contribution by getting a definite red card. It was one of those ones where you curse that you're not in the championship anymore because the referee gives a yellow and you go, yeah, it's fine, yellow, good, all right, you're fine. He goes over, shakes the referee's hand, the referee's going, hang on a minute, this is a bit... Whereas, of course, it's just inevitable. You anywhere in the ground, you just... How the referee was right next to it didn't give that as a straight red.
I saw someone on...
Shocking tackle, shocking.
I saw someone saying that at the game, and when that happened, someone near them shouted, that's 8 minutes in.
Oh my goodness. But the thing is though, actually, I mean, in fact it was slightly earlier than that because of by the time VAR made the decision. But you know what, in that first 5 or 6 minutes, even 11, Newcastle were right at it.
Yeah.
I've got to say I was very impressed with them. And look, Fulham, down to 10 men, you can say, oh well, that's why they're unlikely to win the game, but actually Newcastle just not for a second game.
Well, Miggy Almiron, that first goal was an absolute that was ridiculous.
It came out of nowhere. When I say came out of nowhere, as in the ball goes up in the air and you think, okay, well, it's a bit of a tricky one to take. Boof. And the whole ground was surprised when he smashed that in.
Yeah, and I think rightly so, because it's...
Jack Grealish was very surprised.
Yeah, because it's Miguel Almiron. Secondly, because...
What is Grealish doing when he said that?
It was speculative, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm not sure Jack Grealish is the brightest.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll...
I don't know what that means. it was an amazing goal. He deserves all the credit in the world for that.
It was a fantastic goal.
And obviously followed it up with another as well. Mm. And Longstaff was the player who got the foul from Chalobah, right? So he was able to get one too.
I mean, he got it. He didn't want it. He wasn't searching for it.
No, what I'm saying is...
Playing for free kicks.
He managed to have a last laugh to score a goal just before half-time is what
he
I'm saying.
Did, yeah,
it's like he's trying to pull an insurance scam and he sets up in front of a Formula One car. It's like, a little bit too much.
Yeah,
a little bit much.
So yeah, the good news is I got the insurance. The bad news is the car hit me at 220 miles an hour.
That's superb, absolutely superb.
At least it's three of me.
Oh, dear. I would like to say that Eddie Howe said after the game, we wanted more. We weren't happy with what we had. We were always trying to score. Yeah, I know. Yeah. At 4-0, I remember saying to my mate, I'd bite your hand off a 4-1. And we got it.
Was it looking like it was going to be a very, very long game?
At half-time, I thought this will probably be 6 or 7.
Shit.
Yeah, it really was. And they did. Newcastle did score a couple of goals which were ruled out for offside. So, I mean, they are the rules, but I'm just saying it shows you how much they were pushing. And I didn't think Fulham were that bad. Newcastle were very, very impressive. The way they just completely dismantled them. Didn't give them a sniff.
Yeah.
Very generous ovation to Dick Aldover Reed's goal.
That was the only time in the whole
Fulham-ish, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only time in the whole 90 minutes where I got off my seat. I think that's probably what
you
it was.
Did have your half-time pie, no?
No, not that time.
No,
okay. I was too miserable. But one thing I would say is
into your pie.
It really, really hit home that Nick Pope is really not good with the ball at his feet.
He's not had a great couple of weeks.
Wow.
He's not had a great couple of weeks.
No, he hasn't. And that all is good news for Ramsdale as the number two spot for England heats up before the World Cup.
probably have Henderson in goal, Marcus.
Maybe. Just in front of the goal to stop it. Everybody. By the way, I should say before we leave, join us tomorrow for another episode of the Football Rambles Guide 2. It's a much more serious and thoughtful affair this time around, you'll be pleased to know, as we're talking about footballers with acting careers. From Vinnie Jones to Neymar. As a special ops agent, we've got it all. So get that tomorrow in your podcast pipe.
Yeah, if you are interested in listening to that, and why wouldn't you be, I genuinely did a quite deep dive on David Beckham's appearance in Only Fools and Horses. So it's worth checking out.
Don't give the best bit away.
It's not the best. I mean, it's basically the lion's share of the episode.
It's not, for crying out loud.
It was good. It was good content.
Yeah, very good content.
Get that on The Athletic.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Create Network. Don't give them ideas.
We don't charge them a fiver a month either.
No, we don't. Free.
You paid a fiver?
Patreon. Patreon, we do, but that's not generally speaking. The shows are free, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's crucially because it means they can't complain about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a fast place to finish on.
You just want to say thank you to me, don't you? Thank you very much for having me. Cheers. All right, I get the hint.
What a Bobby Decker don't read goal to finish on that one.
Before we go, I got an email from a PR. You know, you get on these mail out things.
I remember once we got one in the past from a beer producing company.
Yeah.
And you know,
I asked for loads of free beer.
And you sent them back Pete Donaldson's home address and said, hello there. Please send as much beer as possible to this address.
As much beer as possible.
Well, I got an email today.
As much beer as humanly possible.
I got an email today from a marketing company, and the headline of the email is, 1 in 3 Brits don't know what the UEFA Nations League is.
Well, which one of the three of us is it?
I know, one of us here doesn't know.
Me almost certainly.
Yeah. He doesn't know Man United's winning squad is in the Champions League 99.
No.
Learned that Henning
Berg.
Anyway, see you later.
There we go. Vitushin, pleasure.
Always.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.